Hello and welcome back, everybody. You are listening to the Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture Podcast, and I'm your host, Isaac. Today, we are going to explain to you the meanings, the hidden rituals, the occult and Illuminati symbolism of the film Hereditary. Now, this is a movie about occult rituals and the forces that bind this dimension to another, a hidden realm. And in this hidden realm, you can make contact with forces of good, bad, or ugly. And in this film, well, they're not good, I'll tell you that much. We see the practical use, if you want to call it practical, put that in quotations, of ritual or ceremonial magic and conjuring entities for personal gain in its worst form possible. Films like this demonstrate what the real horrors of what could happen if one takes on these esoteric belief systems and goes too far with it, becomes selfish with it, lets the ego take over, whatever angle you want to approach this thing from. But to me, it's something that we should take very seriously, considering the recent mainstreaming of occult practices through the likes of Harry Potter, spiritual mediums, ghost hunting. Everyone's a ghost hunting. Yoga, even. Yep, that's right. Yoga means to yoke, to unionize. That's what the original intent was. It wasn't to keep the Hollywood housewives thin. But I'll be explaining the symbolism from the movie, the meaning of these rituals, themes of occult magic in general, and I'll fill in just in general how... I'll fill in some of the blanks on how this relates to some of the other theories that you're familiar with and topics in pop culture in general. Because, hey, that's what we do here on the Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture Podcast. Speaking of which, have you subscribed yet? You need to do so. In fact, you can not only subscribe to the podcast, you can also sign up for Patreon. And on there, on patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher, you'll unlock bonus content from various shows. You'll get a free download of The Dark Path. That's my recent book that explains all of this in the biggest picture possible, because that's why you're here. You're here to learn what the hell is going on in this world. And I explained to you why it's happening. And not to mention, you'll have the pride of keeping independent research alive. So there's my sales pitch. You made it through. Congratulations. Let's get into the film. Now, I talked about how this is about ritual magic, and that's true. Ritual magic or ceremonial magic, this is the occult system. And when I say occult, I mean hidden. That's a Latin word for hidden. It's this occult or esoteric system that seeks to make contact with entities from another dimension. We're not talking about stage magic like David Copperfield. We're talking about incantations and invocations in order to evoke spirits from another dimension into one's personal space in order to barter or trade certain, things for personal gain from them. Knowledge, understanding, power, whatever. Now, I don't do this sort of thing. I've just read about it, so that's my understanding of it. And this film is all about that. It is entirely about that. And just to give you a preface of what we're going to go through today, because I want to give you an outline so you can follow more easily. We're going to approach this from the idea of how is this related to ritual magic, and then as part of that, we're going to talk about a little bit about the director, Rosemary's Baby, parallels. We're gonna define what those weird names were on the walls. Satoni, Zazas, Liftok, Pandemonium. I'm gonna tell you what those mean. We're gonna talk about the symbol that you see throughout the film on the necklaces and on the the post. By the way, this thing's plot spoiler heavy. So if you haven't seen Hereditary and this type of thing bothers you to hear what happens, by all means, turn back now and come back later. Because this was actually a really, really good film. I'm a fan of the horror genre and, of course, anything occult related. And, man, this film nailed it. It was terrifying. It made me feel very queasy at parts. Not queasy like I'm going to throw up, like uneasy. Like I felt like I wanted to crawl out of my skin. So I get it when I read some of the reviews that said, yes, Hereditary is the scariest movie ever. No, I will not watch it again. But I'm not like that. I'm not like those sissies. I'm going to go watch it again because I need to learn more about what's happening here. Because there's still a couple holes that I don't understand yet. But I've got 90% of it figured out. Anyways, we're going to talk about the symbols. We're going to talk about some of the symbolism I've seen on the film. What else do I got on here? Project Monarch, MK Ultra, Mind Control. Yep, it was there. Channeling spirits, channeling Lucifer himself. Were they doing that? Absolutely. And then we're going to define this ultimate higher demon that is responsible for the film, Paimon. And I'm going to give you the actual references to actual occult doctrine about Paimon. Unlike, you know, you might read about this thing on BuzzFeed, but that's just going to be a fluff piece or whatever. This is the real deal, folks. So that's what we're going to go into. Let's talk about ritual magic, the diorama that you see throughout the film, because Annie, who is played by Toni Collette, or Mom, we can call her Mom, she does art in the form of these little miniature dioramas, okay? And this is analogous to the idea of these ritual magicians. They want to create reality. It's the connecting the microcosm to the macrocosm. The microcosm being the earth material plane, the macrocosm being the universe. They think that through certain spells, rituals, whatever, they can force something out of the universe and the universe gives it back to them. They create reality. And that is depicted here where she is kind of like the master magician creating reality. Which is curious because she's doing the scenes that she is doing in these dioramas is very macabre. Like she has the scene where her daughter's head gets ripped off, her mother on her hospice deathbed, the funeral home. I mean, it's pretty dark stuff. So it begs the question of maybe the film is out of sequence and she's projecting it first. I don't think so. I don't know. It's hard to tell. Like I said, I got to watch it again. But and if you have any ideas on this, please comment or shoot me a message on my many social media feeds, preferably Twitter at Illuminati Eyes or Instagram at Isaac Weishaupt, or you can hit me on Facebook. That one's a bit of a gamble because I don't check it as much. It's very clunky. I don't like Facebook at Illuminati Watcher or whatever, you can figure it out. So, or if you're on my Patreon feed, comment on there. I read those too. I read everything. Or leave a review for the podcast and I'll read it there. Anyways. So when you see in the film, the light transitions, you'll notice when they zoom out and show the house, which could just be the diorama, the light switches from dark to light or light to dark. I think it's almost always dark to light and it's immediate. It's just like a light switch. We saw this with the first Lego movie, believe it or not. Yes, that's right. I did an analysis on the first Lego movie, and it turns out that's what it's all about. It's as above, so below, which is the Baphomet, the goat, and it means that the ritual magician can change reality from below. And that's what we see. And I'm going to put images to support these claims I'm making on IlluminatiWatcher.com, or if you're on the Patreon feed, I'll put it on the Patreon post for it as well. But I'll post the image of the Lego movie where you have the ritual magician, and then multiple images from Hereditary for this symbolism of as above, so below. Another idea that I saw for the magic element is if you look at Ellen's room, Grandma, because Grandma, was staying with the family in the one room that the door kept mysteriously kind of opening. Well, do you remember when Mom, Annie, she rips up the rug and there's a big triangle on the floor? They never revisited that. It was one time only. That, of course, is the triangle of manifestation. I've been talking about that for years. And that is what the magician draws on the floor to conjure up the spirits into. Because the magician stands in a circle of protection while the spirit or, elemental or entity, whatever you want to call it, materializes within the triangle of manifestation. That's why you see Anton LaVey do it. That's why you see Jay-Z and Beyonce do it. They're manifesting power and fame and wealth. That's another topic for another day. But they're then obviously, you know, Annie's going through her mom's books, and she finds this book on spiritualism, and you know, the book about the demon Paimon, which again we're going to talk about at the end of this show. But you know, there's obvious references to ritual magic when we see that there's this interest in seances and conjuring entities, which, you know, should, this film should be a warning to you ghost hunters out there. And I don't approach this from a judgmental place, because I've actually ghost hunted myself, and not to brag, I did it before it was popular. You know what I'm saying? I did it back in 99. I was in the military. I was stationed in Utah, and my buddy was into this EVP stuff, and he played this audio clip of he was out in the field, and there was like a bell that started ringing on the audio, which I guess corresponds to a demon. And my dumbass, I was like, whoa, that's really cool, man. So I started hanging out with these ghost hunters, and we got all kinds of weird stuff. I saw the orbs, like, in person. I saw orbs. I got lots of weird stuff. I was communicating with people's families and not realizing who they were. On the EVP, of course, you know. But then, like, really weird stuff happened to me. Like, in the house I was staying, it had just gotten painted on the inside, but you would see these green scratch marks all over the walls, like in impossible places, in places that you couldn't even reach unless you had like a ladder and you got up. So it wasn't like someone was accidentally rubbing on the wall and putting these scratch marks. And then like loud bangs, I mean, terrifying stuff. So like I immediately stopped. I wasn't that dumb, I guess. But anyways, the warning here is, you know, dabbling with another dimension, people think it's just fun and games, but like, I mean, this is serious stuff, folks. Don't be fooled by today's society that if it's not scientifically proven, it ain't real. That's what they want you to believe. Even the occultists don't really believe that, right? Now, look at the director. His name is Ari Aster. Illuminati confirm. What do I say that? Well, the Astor bloodline is one of the Illuminati bloodlines, supposedly. Now, his last name is spelled a little different. It's A-S-T-E-R, not A-S-T-O-R. But anyways, I saw an interview with him, and he said, I'm not tied in any way to the occult, so the research was disturbing, but I knew that I had to go there, and I knew that I wanted the ritual elements of the film, which are held at a distance, and you only get pieces of them. I knew I wanted them to be rooted in something real. I was led to witchcraft manuals that are instructing people on how to cast spells and this and that. So there you have it. That's what he was saying. He was saying that this is legit stuff, folks. He was saying like Harry Potter, man, that's witchcraft stuff. You're getting the kids interested in this stuff, and this is where it leads. Maybe. I mean, maybe not. But it could. And look, I'm not trying to be like a real Bible thumper type here. Like, I get it. This stuff's interesting. I'm just as intrigued as the next person. I'm just saying, be careful with it. You probably shouldn't even mess with it, to be honest. Like, you don't know what goes on in this other spiritual realm. And what, you're going to read these books from Hot Topic? They're going to tell you the truth? No, you're going to get possessed by a demon. Okay, Rosemary's Baby. This film is very similar to that, okay? And it's all about birthing the moon child. It's all about creating this magical, you know, entity of sorts. And I'm going to talk about that. Well, how do I want to put this here? Yeah, I'm going to actually talk about that at the end with Paimon. We're going to talk about the Babylon working ritual and Marjorie Cameron, Jack Parsons, L. Ron Hubbard. We're going to talk about that for a quick second, because that plays a role here as well. But in Rosemary's Baby, it's kind of like creating this this new entity, this demonic antichrist offspring. And that's kind of what happens here. Because the family is groomed, because they were trying to make the boy. That's why Annie says to Charlie, the girl, the daughter, she says, like, you were supposed to be a boy because grandma, Ellen, wanted that. She wanted the boy in order to make this ritualistic element happen and to have Paimon possess the body. And, you know, the connections to Rosemary's Baby, we also see Annie, she's giving the eulogy at her mother's funeral, and she says that there's so many strange new faces, which is because that this was an underground private cult, and they were all there for it, which you see at the end, you'll see all these, you know, strange people that you don't really recognize from the movie, like these old folks that are into this stuff. And that's kind of like Rosemary's Baby. There was this big group of people that were embedded in these people's lives, and they didn't realize it until oops, she birthed the Antichrist, you know? And during that eulogy, Annie says that her mom had private rituals and private friends. Well, they're not going to stay private for too long, Annie. Yeah, so the private rituals, of course, is related to the magic, ritual magic. Okay, I think I've beaten that horse long enough. Let's go into these weird names on the walls that we saw. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing them right, but Satoni, Zazas, and Liftoic Pandemonium. Liftoic Pandemonium? Anyways, they were all seen on the walls in various points of progression through the film. Now, Satoni loosely means necromancy, or the, you know, raising spirits from the dead. Zazas, I found that curious because I was reading about Zozos, which is Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin. That's like, that was like his alter ego spirit or whatever, but like that's supposed to be demonic too. But this is Zazas, very similar. And I did a quick search through my library and I found it. I found it in Kenneth Grant's Magical Revival. And he describes it as a portal to hell. And Kenneth Grant is one to listen to because he was a Aleister Crowley acolyte. And if you don't know who Crowley is, he was the you know, this guy from the early 1900s that was channeling spirits and talking to aliens, and they called him the you know, the Great Beast 666, or that's what he called himself. Anyways, he was one of the most famous ritual magicians of all time. And his successor, he had many, but Kenneth Grant was one. He wrote about it, Zazas, in this book. He said, the traditional formula for opening infernal regions is Zazas, Zazas, Nasatanada. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. By this spell, Adam was reputed to have opened the gates of hell. Hell is the concealed place, the hole or hall of the dead. The dead, being the forgotten images, are past selves which respond to the incantation and resurrect in the flesh of the present. So that is part of the ritualizing of this thing, right? Like maybe Ellen, Grandma, was able to write on the walls as a sort of incantation to get the ball rolling here to open up the gates to hell. And, you know, it reminded me of House by the Cemetery. It's a Fulci horror movie. It was like a trilogy. And that was all about opening the portal to hell as well. I'm going to have to revisit those to see if you see anything like this in those. But anyway, the last phrase you see is this Liftoic Pandemonium. And again, this is a Hebrew word. Liftoic means open in Hebrew. And Pandemonium is chaotic capital of hell in Paradise Lost. So these things are all about raising the dead and opening the portal to hell. Pretty dark stuff. Now the symbol that we see for Paimon is, you know, you see it on the necklaces that Ellen and Annie are wearing, and you also see it on that telephone pole that decapitates Charlie, which is one of the most disturbing moments in cinematic history, in my opinion. Ugh, that's so bad. So bad. Anyways, it's the symbol for Paimon, this demon, the king, one of the kings of hell. And again, I'm going to talk about it soon. At the end. Now, Peter, he's the son. He is in the classroom in high school, and he's taking like a Greek mythology class. They're talking about Sophocles. But they're apparently, I had to do a little research on this because I didn't catch it all. Because I'm in the theater, I've got a little I got a pen and pad, but you wouldn't realize how difficult it is to write on a pen and pad in the dark. So I couldn't read half of my scribble. I used to write it on my phone under my shirt, but I got yelled at once in Alien Covenant for doing that, so... Oops, sorry. Anyways, in the Greek mythology course, they're talking about Iphigenia? I don't know. I'm notoriously bad for butchering names, so if you're a Greek mythology expert, you know, hold it together. It's fine. If Iphigenia, it was this princess that was an actual blood sacrifice in the mythology by the hands of her own father. And this, what's curious to me, and what, you know, I heard Sophocles, and I, that's what cued me in, because this ancient Greek culture and mythology is critical to the core beliefs of all these occult practices. You go back to pre-Christ era, and Pythagoras, he had established the first secret society. He went around and synchronized various esoteric doctrines from the Egyptians and the Babylonian stargazers. And this was the basis for Hermeticism, which is a system which was supposedly written by Hermes Trismegistus, or Thoth in Egypt, the god of magic. And it's all the same sort of thing wrapped up in different flavors. It's all about magic and contacting entities, necromancy a little bit maybe. But then later, like, it transformed again in the Corpus Hermeticum. Anyways, it doesn't matter. The point is... The ancient Greek culture is very crucial to the evolution of occult doctrine. So Peter is learning about this in the classroom right before he gets possessed by the spirit. Now, I noticed in Charlie's bedroom, she, you know, because she's drawing in this book the whole time, there was a ghost on the wall in one of her drawings, if you saw that. That was a bit foreshadowing, right? Now, it's also kind of what Kathy O'Brien talked about in her book, Transformation of America, with MKUltra, mind control. Because, you know, she kind of alludes to the idea that people abused her, and it could have been in the form of aliens, ghosts, whatever. And you see this corroborated by Whitley Strieber. He's the guy who wrote Communion. And he was abused by these alien entities. So this could fall into that category as well. In fact, I pulled up a write-up that Strieber did called The Boy in the Box. And this kind of echoes this idea that maybe there's a connection between MKUltra and Project Monarch and dissociative identity disorder and aliens. Okay. He wrote, "In recent years, I've had a number of childhood memories emerge that disturb me very much. These memories are like the memories of many other people, and I have also found, buried in some old news stories, starting corroboration for one of them. Startling corroboration, sorry. I've also found in our society an institution that was created by two accused child abusers and has on its board advocates of pedophilia and CIA officers, which exists to discredit anybody who has had such memories. This institution is called the False Memory Syndrome Foundation. I'll be addressing it later. I believe that beginning after World War II, children began to be recruited for various experimental efforts to create quote-unquote perfect spies and to study the effects of the development of dual and multiple personalities in them. The idea was that a child would be placed under intense pressure, abused both physically and emotionally, until, as a defense mechanism, the child developed a second personality that the first was not aware of. This second personality would then be used by the child's handlers in all sorts of ways. Some of these children were hypnotically triggered to recruit for CIA on their own when they came of age, and their hidden personalities were then activated and used by informed handlers. I believe this program started in 1947 or 1948 and continued on perhaps even into the 70s and even into current times. It involved the abuse and destruction of many thousands of children and the ruin of many lives. I do not think that it resulted in much long-term success. If that had been the case, the United States would not have seen its covert intelligence operation fail during the 70s and 80s, and would never have had to turn to electronic eavesdropping as its primary means of gathering intelligence." So, there he is. He's talking about this thing, and you heard David Icke talk about this too. It's the amnesic barrier, it's called. It's when something very traumatic happens, like maybe in the car accident, your brain shuts down to protect itself prior to the incident. And you know, it's kind of like that, where you traumatize and abuse someone and they create an amnesic barrier and they kind of compartmentalize into different personalities, which is a huge part of this storyline. Because Annie, the mom, she goes to the grief group, right? And she initially goes for her own mother, Ellen. So she's talking about how Ellen had dissociative identity disorder. And also that her brother committed suicide because grandma was trying to put a spirit into him. Talking about Paimon, of course. Now, this DID thing is curious because of the multiple personalities. And the rest of the film didn't go into this much, but I found it very curious because the actress, Annie, is played by Toni Collette. And she was on a Showtime series about a character with multiple personalities called the United States of Terra, if you remember that. And she does a great job in this movie, by the way. She's terrifying when she's like screaming and stuff. Her facial expressions are like, you know, they're scary. Project Monarch is interesting. Initially, when I went to this film, I thought we were going to have some Project Monarch stuff. I thought that's what it meant by Hereditary, because there's a very obvious link with the bloodlines and keeping it within the same bloodline family and passing genes down. But in Kathy O'Brien's Transformation of America, she talks about Project Monarch, and she says, and I quote, "Project Monarch was a mind control operation which was recruiting multi-generational incest abused children with multiple personality disorder for its genetic mind control studies." Now, like, officially, you look up this kind of stuff and there's, you know, because they found all the MK Ultra paper, well, some of them, they destroyed like a large percentage of it back in the 70s. But from what they found of the MK Ultra operations, they had many. It was an umbrella program with many sub-programs, and allegedly one of them is Project Monarch, which is dealing with, the genetic mind control studies and following bloodlines. Now, it's curious how this film took right to this without overt mention of it, and I think the director was told to tone it down a bit, maybe. Maybe it was too on the nose, if you know what I'm saying. So Joan... or Joni, she's the woman that Annie meets at one of the grief groups, who turns out, like, you know, Joan knows who Annie is because Joan was buddies with her mom, Ellen, doing these ceremonial rituals. And she was the one apparently assigned to make sure that the final transition happens. And when she is in the room with Annie, showing Annie, like, hey, this is how you can talk to your loved ones. She pretends to be channeling someone called Louie. And my friend Uncle TJ there told me that he said, "Hey man, Louie, that's like Lucifer, right?" And I said, "That's genius. That is. She's channeling Lucifer, not Louie. Lucifer. She's channeling Lucifer as the fallen angel, because that transitions us into the ultimate highest purpose of this film, is to channel the spirit of Paimon, who is one of the kings of hell. And he takes over Peter's body. Now this spirit is manifested of Paimon. It's manifested and passed down through the severed heads for some reason of the family members. And that's the one curiosity I haven't figured out yet. Again, if you know why that is, hit me up on the socials. Because that's very evident in the film. That's very necessary. In fact, if you look at the movie poster, you'll see that one of Charlie's little sort of like diorama creature creations is a thing without a head bowing down and worshiping what looks like a mouse head, which I don't understand, because there was no mouse in the film. There's a bird in the film that gets decapitated. But it kind of emulates the final scene where the cult members are, you know, they place these bodies without their heads worshiping the Paimon or Peter or whatever. Anyways, so I'm a little confused on the severed head things. I don't know that much about it. So if you know, let me know. Anyways, and this is what it gets us into the Babylon working ritual. And this was the idea that L. Ron Hubbard, founder of Scientology, Jack Parsons, founder of JPL, which is the predecessor to NASA, they did these Crowley rituals to called the Babylon workings. And I just so happened to be reading a book about Marjorie Cameron at the moment, and the author says that in the Babylon workings, the first part of the rituals was conjuring this woman who was going to be the vessel for what do they call it now? Vessel for like this Antichrist, okay? And the second part of the ritual concentrated on the invocation of the biblical whore of Babylon, who Crowley named Babylon, B-A-B-A-L-O-N, for numerological reasons. Okay. Now, in the book of Revelations, she is described as the mother of harlots and abominations, drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Later it goes, it says Babylon was transfigured from a Christian pariah into a sacred goddess of sex magic. And the aim here that they were doing during the Babylon workings is to unleash Babylon's licentious spirit on a populace tyrannized by Christianity's strangulating attitude to sexuality, seen by Jack Parsons as the underlying root cause of psychological torment and societal bigotry, and set in motion the great beast's revolutionary new aeon. And that's what it's all about. And Crowley wrote about this in his book, Moonchild, where these magicians were trying to create a new, what do you call it? Immaculate conception of a spiritual derived baby, right? Marjorie Cameron, she was part of this. She was supposed to have been the one that manifested through this ritual to procreate the child that would be the moon, the moon child. She went crazy. She tried to kill herself sometimes, right? It's a dangerous territory, folks. Anyways, Paimon, the spirit that's the main focus, and one of the kings of hell that takes over Peter's body, he actually appears in the magician Samuel Mather's book, The Lesser Key of Solomon. Samuel Mather, you'll know, as the contentious magician that fought with Crowley over time. But it describes it. I got a copy of it here. It says, Paimon, the ninth spirit in this orderous, Paimon, a great king and very obedient unto Lucifer. Which, again, that ties us back to why Joni was channeling Louis, Lucifer, in order to get in contact with Paimon. And just to give you a little, let me give you a little background on this book here. The Key of Solomon says, and this comes from within the Lesser Keys of Solomon book, there's this book of evil spirits, which is where Paimon appears. They call this the Goetia, and these are bound up spirits. The Key of Solomon, which contains all the names, orders, and offices of all the spirits that ever Solomon conversed with, together with the seals and characters belonging to each spirit. And that's why that symbol is seen throughout the film, because that is the sigil of Paimon, which is the ninth in the sequence for the Goetia. Anyways, okay. So he's obedient to Lucifer. He appeareth in the form of a man sitting upon a dromedary, which is like a camel, with a crown most glorious upon his head, which is why they crown Peter at the end. And how disturbing was that at the end? Good God. The severed head on the Baphomet looking thing that had his right hand was in the two fingers down, two fingers out, just like Baphomet. Anyways, there goeth before him also a host of spirits, like men with trumpets and well-sounding cymbals and all other sorts of musical instruments. He hath a great voice and roareth at his first coming, and his speech is such that the magician cannot well understand unless he can compel him. This spirit can teach all arts and sciences and other secret things. He can discover under thee what the earth is, and what holdeth it up in the waters, and what mind is, and where it is, or any other thing thou mayest desire to know. It's like reading the Bible here. He giveth dignity and confirmeth the same. He bindeth or maketh any man subject unto the magician if he so desire it. He giveth good familiars and such as can teach all arts. He is to be the observed towards the west. He is the order of dominations. He hath under him 200 legions of spirits, and part of them are the order of angels and other part of potentates. Now, if thou callest the spirit Paimon alone, thou must make him some offering. This is why you see all the sacrifices, the blood sacrifice. And there will attend him two kings called Labal and Abali, and also other spirits who be of the order of potentates in his host, and 25 legions. And those spirits which be subject unto them are not always with them unless the magician do compel them. His character is this, which must be worn as a layman before thee, etc. Now, so obviously Paimon's purpose is to serve as the facilitator of this Faustian pact, this Faustian bargain, the sacrifice of the selling the soul to the devil thing, right? They exchange the blood sacrifices for the riches that are cited in Ellen's book on spiritualism. In fact, if you recall in the film, Annie finds a note in the book, and it spells out very clearly to the viewer. It says, "Our sacrifices will pale next to their rewards." So again, reiterate what this film is about. It's about ritual magic and the blood sacrifice and the actual real dimensions that one can, harness these demonic entities. And this is obviously a film where it goes very bad, very disturbing. And, it's very clear as to what's going on if you approach it with an understanding of the occult and the esoteric doctrines. But I'm curious what you think. Hit me up on the socials or Patreon. Leave a comment. I want to know what your interpretation of this film was. Do you think I'm hitting it on the, am I tracking correctly here? I think I am. I know I am. I'll just say it right now. I know I am. So prove to me I'm wrong. Okay. No, but seriously, like what, but I do want to know why the decapitated heads, why that's so important. It's very curious. If you haven't heard any of my other shows, if you're new to this show, check me out. Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. Subscribe. You can also get all the bonus stuff, the free download of my book, The Dark Path, which explains everything. If you're listening to this and you got questions, if you're like, what the hell is this guy talking about? Go get my book, The Dark Path. I mean, you don't have to get it on Patreon, but you'll get it for free if you become a Tier 1 member. And or you can just get it on Amazon or iTunes or wherever. Audible. I did an author-narrated version on Audible, which you could get for free. If you just sign up for a free trial to Audible, you'll just get the book for free. It's got over 100 great reviews. You can't go wrong, folks. Do you want to know the truth to reality, or do you want to be distracted with superhero bullshit? It's up to you. It's your life. You can do whatever you want. I won't judge you. Anyways, I want to thank you for listening. If you like the show, leave a review on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, whatever. And hit the subscribe button. Subscribe to the show. You don't want to learn things? I know you want to learn things. That's what I want to do. And I want to talk about things. You can also go to my website, IlluminatiWatcher.com, for more on all these subjects, as well as those images I've been talking about in this film. Got the different symbols, all seeing eye, and as above, so below, all that crap. All right, thanks again, and as always, be your best for those who deserve your best.